All right, 145 will stand for our final hymn prior to the message, and we're going to sing all three great testimonies tonight. And it's so good to know that someday each of us will stand on Jordan's stormy banks up yonder. So shall we ever be with the Lord. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
There's no question about that. All three.
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wistful eye. Oh, Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for one eternal day. There God the sun forever reigns, and he scatters night away. Amen! I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
We do thank the Lord that we are, and we're going to get there soon, one day, very soon, I believe. Well, folks, let's grab our Bibles at this time and open up to the book of Galatians. Tonight we're trudging along in Galatians chapter 5. And oh, what a time I had last night preparing tonight's message on Galatians chapter 5. We're picking up the text tonight in verse 5. Last week we covered the first four verses, and of course, as I've said from the beginning, the key verse to the book is chapter 5, verse 1, standing fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, not being entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Amen? And tonight, I've titled my message, Faith's Waiting. Faith's Waiting. Look with me, we'll pick it up in verse number 5. Remain seated tonight. Verse 5, for we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you, that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you for the words of God tonight. These incredible five verses, verses 5 through 9. And Lord, we thank you for the eternal truths that are contained herein. It never ceases to amaze me, Lord, how much knowledge your Holy Spirit can pack into just a few verses of Scripture. That's why it's a living word. That's why it liveth and abideth forever. And that's why it transformeth us from the inside out. Lord, we thank you that sanctification does not come from human works or effort, but sanctification comes through the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for the gift of sanctification. We thank you for the gift of faith's waiting. Waiting for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the Son of God. And Lord, we are so close to that day. I'm so thankful, Lord, for a church full of people who are eagerly anticipating the coming of the Lord. And Lord, just like John the Baptist came to make ready a people prepared for the coming of the Lord, I believe you're doing the same exact thing today. There is a faithful remnant that loves the Son of God. that awaits His glorious return and that is not ashamed to tell this world about it. We thank You, Lord, that we're part of that remnant. And we ask You to bless us now as we look into these verses. May we be strengthened with might by Your Spirit in our inner mans. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the people said, Amen. 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 Folks, tonight, beginning here in verse 5, the Apostle Paul begins to reveal the beauty of living, verse 1, in our daily lives. He's explaining the practical side of grace, where the believer learns to live and operate under the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit, and to grasp the doctrine of identification. The problem with the Church of Jesus Christ in the world today, folks, I believe, is that the Church has lost sight of who we are. The doctrine of identification is key to your Christian life of victory, knowing that we are conquerors through Jesus Christ, knowing that we are already made the righteousness of God in Him. And because I have been made the righteousness of God, I can live that way by His Spirit that indwells me. This is the identification of the believer. So let's jump in tonight and see a few things. First, notice that we must operate through the right channel. Look at verse 5. He says, for we, now time out, church, who is the we of verse 5? Christians. Paul includes himself, amen. For we, through the Spirit, do wait. I love that. Paul says, number one, God's Holy Spirit has come to indwell us, not for boasting, but in order that we might live and function through Him, in not the flesh. We, through the Spirit. The Judaizers were trying to tell them that you need to do works of the flesh to be saved. And Paul says, no, no, no. You just need to operate through the Spirit to please God. Now, this means that we do not lean on human efforts trying to do something in order to earn divine favor, but rather yielding to the moving and leading of the Holy Spirit in fulfilling God's will in our lives. Amen? It simply means, church, that I am functioning and operating through the Holy Spirit who indwells me and not in what I can or cannot do. It's what He can do through you. Amen? Yeah. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. Hold your place. We're coming right back to Galatians. In Philippians chapter 2, oh, look at this verse. This is so good tonight. I told you I had a good time last night preparing it. Verse 13, Philippians 2:13. He says, for it is God which worketh where? In you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You've got to grab hold of this truth. God is working in you. Amen. What's it say first? To what? Begins with a W. To will. To will. Listen to me. Your will is hopeless without the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit is willing you, through you, to do God's will. You know what that does? That eliminates human effort. That eliminates self-pride. It eliminates self-glory. It gives all the glory to God. Because it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to what? And to do. God is doing through you what He wants to do. Who gets the glory for that? Jesus. Oh yeah, the Lord. The Lord gets all the glory for that. And it says, to do of His good pleasure. Not my pleasure. Not what I please to do. What He pleases to do through me. Oh, this is so good. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Don't miss this. In Hebrews 13, what a glorious passage here of exactly what Paul is saying. In Hebrews 13, look with me at verse 20. Paul, I believe, wrote the book of Hebrews. I've got 9 reasons why. It's on one of my messages in the book of Hebrews on the website. The first message, I gave you 9 reasons why Paul wrote the book. Verse 20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Watch it. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God is working in you. He's working through you for his own good pleasure. What he pleases to do with your life and mine. Oh, it's such a blessing to know that he's working in and through me. It gives me such joy to lay my head on a pillow at night and sleep like a baby because Jesus is in control, not Bob Oliver. The minute we take hold of the reins, we get in trouble, don't we? So we need to let the Holy Spirit control those reins of our life. Secondly, tonight, back in Galatians 5, first, we must operate through the right channel. That's the Holy Spirit. Second, observe what we are waiting for. Verse 5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. What in the world does that mean? I thought I already was righteous. You are. You have the righteousness of God in you. That's why you're going to heaven. But this part of you that is not righteous, this part of me that is very unrighteous, that's the flesh. Amen? Amen? We still, listen, there are preachers that teach eradication. That once you get saved, you don't have your sin nature no more. Oh, really? Then why do you sin, buddy? Why do you do wrong? Why do you have wrong thoughts? Because you've got a sin nature, and it's the Adamic nature by birth that we inherit from our parents. Now, he says we're waiting for something, okay? And he calls it the hope of righteousness. So if we already have the righteousness of God imputed to us, what righteousness are we waiting for? Let's see what the Bible says. Notice here that even though we, as true believers, do presently possess the imputed righteousness of Christ within, yet we are yet waiting to receive our glorified, sinless, eternally righteous bodies. Amen?
Amen.
I'm 2/3 redeemed. My soul and spirit are totally sealed by the Holy Spirit. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm saved. But my flesh is rebellious. It needs to be redeemed with a glorified body. That's simply what he's saying here. Now, this glorified body will be eternally righteous and sinless. You wouldn't be able to sin even if you tried when you get your glorified body. Because it's perfect. It's glorified as is his body. Now, go with me to Romans chapter 8. I want you to see this. Hold your place in Galatians. In Romans chapter 8, he speaks about what we're waiting for. We're already saved. We know that. But we are waiting for something else. In Romans chapter 8, look with me at verse 23. Paul says, and not only they, but ourselves also which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Anybody got any aches and pains? Oh yeah. Waiting, there's that word again. Waiting for the adoption. Whoa. I thought I already was adopted into God's family. Yeah, you are. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. We've been adopted into his family. So what is not yet adopted? Look at it. He's going to tell you. Waiting for the adoption, to wit, that's to know, the redemption of the body.
Amen.
The physical body must yet be redeemed from its corruption. And it will be. Either by rapture or by physical death at the second coming. Okay? You're going to get a glorified body either way. Praise the Lord for that. Look what he says. For we are saved by hope. Now he's talking about the body. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? We don't see our glorified bodies yet. They're in heaven prepared for us. But verse 25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience what?
Wait for it.
We're in a period of waiting. And while we're waiting, what do we need? We need grace and we need the power of his Holy Spirit to live right. Because if we don't have it, we won't. Look with me in 1 John chapter 3. I'm thinking of teaching through the epistles of John after we finish Galatians. The epistles of John are just heavenly. I mean, they're heavenly, folks. You'll fall so in love with Jesus Christ in the 1 John. Look at 1 John chapter 3. This is just a taste of how good it is. Look at verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. John says there's coming a day when we're going to have bodies just like Jesus' body. Glorified, pass through solids, transcend, you know, from one galaxy to the next, you know. Go over to Val's mansion for a cup of tea. Go visit Timmy, you know. I mean, it's going to be awesome. I had a recurring dream throughout my life since I got saved October 3rd, 1986. I dream about every 4 or 5 months that I'm flying. I mean, flying. I go up, and I'm looking down at everybody. It's so real that I wake up. Every time I wake up, I'm like, wow. And it reminds me that one day I'm going to fly. I'm going to fly because I'm going to have a glorified body. I believe that's the Holy Spirit. That dream is so real, Tim. I believe it's the Holy Spirit confirming to me that my glorified body will not be bound by gravity and this earth. Amen? Folks, we've got such a great future coming. Back to Galatians 5, though. Thirdly tonight, notice Paul reminds them of their spiritual position. Look at verse 6. He says in verse 6, for, what's the next word?
In Jesus.
In Jesus Christ. Now, the clear teaching here is that all people are either in Jesus Christ or they are outside of Jesus Christ. Now, how do you get in Jesus Christ, somebody? How do you get in Jesus Christ? You've got to be what?
Saved.
You've got to be saved. You've got to be born again to be in Jesus Christ. Positionally speaking, Paul reminds them that they are already in Jesus Christ. Now listen carefully. Every single human being on planet Earth right now is presently positioned under the headship of one of two persons. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul literally tells us who these two people are. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 21. Paul says, for since by man came what? Death. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 21. For since by man came death. Who was that man that brought death to the human race? That's right. Everybody said it. That's Adam. By man came also the resurrection of the dead. Who would that man be?
Jesus
Christ, the God-man. For as in, look at the wording, in Adam all die. Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. That's all who will receive him. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ that is coming. He says you're either in Adam, dead in sin, on your way to hell, or you're in Christ, saved, and on your way to heaven. There's no neutral ground. There's no purgatory. It's a made-up doctrine. This is so clear. Look in Romans chapter 5. We'll see it one more time. In Romans chapter 5, and then we'll move on. Adam did a lot of damage to the human race. Man, did he. In Romans chapter 5, look with me at verse 14. Yeah, Romans 5. Verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Yeah, because Adam was a sinner, and all his progeny were born sinners because of it, with a sin nature. Even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. He's the first Adam. Then you got the second Adam. But not as the offense, the sin, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, who? Who's the one? Adam. Many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, what man?
Jesus
Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's if by one man's offense, sin, death reigned by one, Adam, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Notice it's a gift. It's freely given. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. Okay? The gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Now notice in verse 18 that all men have an opportunity to be saved. It's not just for the elect like the Calvinists like to think. It's for all whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad I'm a whosoever. 19. For as by one man's disobedience, who's that? Adam. Many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Notice that you don't make yourself righteous. He does.
Amen.
By his obedience, by his righteousness, you are made righteous in the image of Jesus Christ. How that's so beautiful. I love it. Something else back in Galatians chapter number...
They call it the good news.
The good news. Indeed it is. Something else though. Paul reminds, observe Paul's refutation of Judaism. He completely refutes Judaism here in verse 6. Look at it. For in Jesus Christ, now notice, qualification, in Jesus Christ. If you're positioned in Jesus Christ, you're saved. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. He's putting his finger right on the key doctrine that the Judaizers were preaching to them. If, what was it, Acts 15:1? Except you be circumcised, you cannot be saved. Paul says, what? Circumcision or uncircumcision? Neither one can help you. Neither one can do anything for you. Now, Paul puts his finger right on the very thing that the Judaizers were trying to convince the Galatian believers of. That is the need of circumcision for salvation. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Here's why we don't need circumcision for salvation. In Colossians chapter 2, look with me at verse number 11. By the way, all of you, male and female, have been circumcised. What? That's right. All of you have been circumcised. Spiritually. Ladies are looking at me. All right, look with me here in Colossians 2. Look at verse 11. Jesus Christ, in whom also ye are what?
Circumcised.
I was talking to both male and female brethren, believers, right? But he says, all of you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Did you see that? What is circumcised or cut away from you is all the body of sins. All of your sins have been cut away. And notice what he says at the end of the verse, by the circumcision of Christ. What's that mean? He's talking about the cross as a circumcision. What was circumcision? We don't need to get into any detail. We know what circumcision was. But the cross of Jesus Christ, when his blood was shed, he cut something away from every single believer that would ever live. And that was our sins. It took blood to wash away that sin. Now, this is incredible. Look at chapter 3, if you're still in Colossians. Look at verse 11. In Jesus Christ, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision. It's irrelevant. Barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. But Christ is all and in all. Glory to God. All right, let's move on. Fifthly, next, Paul shows them what will avail with God. What if that won't avail, what will avail? He shows you in verse 6. Look at it. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. I had such a time preparing this message because it is so good. Faith which worketh by love will avail something. It avails something. It impresses God. Circumcision doesn't impress God. Works of righteousness which we have done doesn't impress God. Keeping the Mosaic law doesn't impress God. But faith which worketh by love, oh, that gets his attention every time. Amen? This is so good. Listen carefully. Observe, beloved, here, that biblical saving faith works. He says it works. It works because of the object of its love, the dear Lord Jesus. Listen, as we walk in sweet fellowship with Jesus Christ as our hearts are taken up with him alone, and as faith makes him real to our souls, we come to perceive the reality of things that our eyes have never seen. Faith tells us that Jesus lives. Faith tells us that our sins are gone forever. Faith tells us that fresh supplies of grace are ours every day. Faith tells me that.
Amen.
And faith, which tells me that, causes me to love him even more. Why? Because faith worketh by love. Nobody has a bully whip. Get over to that church. It's time for church. No. Nobody's twisting your arm, honey. Time to go to church. Twist your arm. Get in the car. No. We come here because we love him. Because faith works by love. This is so good. Now, listen carefully. Paul is saying here that faith works by love, and love is the fulfilling of the law. Therefore, we don't need to be under Mosaic law in order to live right. We need to be under the love that saving faith produces. Did you hear what I said? We don't need to be under law to please God. We need to be, listen to me, we need to be under the love that saving faith produces by the Holy Ghost. Let me give you an illustration before we go to a text. I love my wife, right? I love her 28 years, I better. If I don't love her now, I know. I love my wife, though. Well, how about I love my wife, but I never tell her. I never act like it. I ignore her. And this is how many Christians live. I love Jesus. I love you. I'm going to heaven. But they act like they don't love him. See, folks, saving faith produces love for the Lord Jesus. And love for the Lord Jesus produces righteousness in your life. You will not obey God because somebody has got a bully whip. You will not obey God because the Mosaic law says, thou shalt not, and thou shalt not, and thou shalt. You will obey God because you love him. Hello?
Amen.
You will obey God because you love him. My point with my wife there is that I put myself in subjection to her as her husband and spiritual leader because I love her.
Amen.
Because I love her. Not because somebody has hit me upside the head and say, Bob, do this, do that. It's done out of love. And everything you do in your Christian life, folks, must be done from the principle of love to the Lord Jesus. This is what keeps us going. The love of Christ constraineth me. It compels me to serve him and to obey him and to love him every day. Oh, he's so good. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Almost done, but not quite. A couple more hours. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, look with me here. What a beautiful passage. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul led the Christians at Thessalonica to Jesus Christ. Watch what he says in verse 2. 1 Thess 1:2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Paul says to the Thessalonians, you work for God because of your faith that saved you. You labor in ministry because of your love to Jesus Christ. And you wait for his return because of your hope in him. Amen. Faith, love, hope, these three abide. But the greatest of these is charity. Charity in the King James is the correct translation because charity is the strongest form of love. It's love demonstrated. Amen. Now, this is so good. Look with me here in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. It's love. Everything is based upon our love to the Lord. In Ephesians 6, look at verse 23. Peace be to the brethren. And what?
Love.
With? Wow, there it is. You're going to see this over and over. Love with faith. He's praying for the Ephesian believers. And he says, Father, peace be with these believers and love with faith. You've got to couple the two together because it's what your faith believes in that you will love. See? What your faith believes in is what you come to love. Peace be to the brethren in love with faith from God the Father. Oh man, this is so good. The love that you have for Jesus Christ, its source is God the Father. He put it in your heart by His Spirit. Look at it. From God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that what? Love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. You know what that tells me, folks? Amen. It tells me that some people say they love Jesus Christ, but it's not sincere. He said, bless peace and be with faith and love for all them that love Him with sincerity. If you sincerely love somebody, listen to me, you never want to hurt that person. Why? Because you love them. You don't want to hurt, you don't want to disappoint them, you don't want to let them down, though you might. We're all human, and we will let people down. But you don't want to. Why? Because you love Him. And you love Him, look at the last word, sincerity. You love Him truly. It's not a put-on. It's not an act. Oh, glory to God. Now, go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, speaking of this love. Verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. You know what the Quran teaches? Its adherents. It teaches them to kill people who don't convert to Islam. That's what the Quran teaches. 37 times the Quran commands its followers to kill the unbelievers. I'm glad my Bible tells me to love my enemies, pray for them, witness to them. Don't kill them. Oh, that's another spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. Look what he says. Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. God the Father smelt the cross and that offering of His body for and blood for our sins. And God said, oh, that smells good. That's love. That is love, and I like it. Amen? We walk in love. Go to chapter 4 of Ephesians. Look at verse 15. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, a lot of times we speak the truth, not too much love. You're going to go to hell if you don't repent. That's not going to get anybody saved. You know? Oh, you're so wicked. Why don't you repent? No. You're going to push them further away. We need to love them to the Lord. Amen? We need to pray for them. And we need to be kind. Be kind to them and try to win them to Jesus. Chapter 3 of Ephesians. Look at verse 17. I like this. In verse 17, boy, this Bible is so worn, honey. I can hardly read this, all torn up here. I go there a lot, that's why. Look at verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. There's the faith. That ye being rooted and grounded in love. There's the love. Look at what it says. May be able to comprehend. He wants you to understand this. With all the saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Time out, church. This is getting pretty good. Did you see the connection between being filled with the fullness of God and the love of Christ?
Amen.
Yeah. Look at it. Verse 19. Somebody read it out loud. Verse 19.
And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God.
Bingo. Bingo. To know the love of Christ is to be filled with the fullness of God. Somebody told me, you know, you can't have all of God. Oh, really? It says right here in verse 19 that I can be filled with His fullness. As much as is humanly possible, I want it. I don't know about you. And to have it, we need to understand what? The love of Christ. We understand two things. How much He loves us because He died for us. And how much we love Him. It's a reciprocal love. Amen? It rebounds back and forth, back and forth. He loves me, I love Him. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen? I'm so glad He loves me.
Amen.
But something else, church. The underlying motivation for everything that pertains to the Christian life is the love of God, shed abroad in our hearts by His Holy Spirit. Wow. That's why I'm here tonight. Plain and simple. Not because of me. Because of his love that he put inside me by his Spirit. That's why you're here tonight. Sixthly, back to Galatians chapter 5. Sixthly, almost done. Paul exposes the danger of not exercising our free will. Look at verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Church, who is the truth? Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? Jesus is the truth. You have the Spirit of truth within you. And he says these believers were still saved, but they weren't obeying the truth. You can be saved and not obey the truth because salvation is a gift. We don't preach lordship salvation. If you don't make Jesus Lord of every area of your life, you can't be saved. That's the Pharisees. That's the Judaizers, the circumcision. No, it's a gift. But you can receive that gift and then stop obeying the truth. Now, carefully listen. The truth of God's word and Spirit must be obeyed. And this involves the volition. Your will is never eradicated. You have free will. The human will is involved here. Go to chapter 3 of Galatians. Look at verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not what?
Obey
the truth. Time out, church. How were they not obeying the truth? Let's bring it all home here. How were they not obeying the truth? They were listening to the Judaizers that they needed to be circumcised in order to please God, right?
Right.
So, they were seeking sanctification by the works of Moses' law, right? Now listen to what I'm about to say. Sanctification cannot come by the law. Sanctification can only come as your salvation came. The free gift of God, as you get your nose buried in that book and your knees calloused up in prayer and you spend time with Jesus Christ, he sanctifies you.
Amen.
You don't sanctify you. Otherwise, you've got a works-oriented salvation. It's by grace that you're sanctified. And when you get in this book and you get up from it, you feel clean all over, don't you? You feel, oh, that is so good. My Lord loves me. You just got sanctified by the word, not by works. Seventhly, next he reveals the danger of seducing spirits. Look at verse 8. Chapter 5, look at verse 8. The danger of seducing spirits. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Paul says somebody's trying to seduce you spiritually away from Jesus Christ and his grace. You see that in verse 8? And he says this is a danger for every believer. Now, that's why we keep false doctrine out of the church. But Paul is saying here that there are other voices trying to sidetrack you believers at Galatia. Okay, go with me to John chapter 10, quickly. We're almost done. In John chapter 10, this is where I got saved. October 3rd, 1986, in John chapter 10, Jesus Christ saved my hellbound soul. Let me show you how. In John chapter 10, look with me at verse 14. Watch what the good shepherd says. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, you guys, which are not of this fold, non-Jewish. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my what?
Voice.
See, there's one voice that we need to hear, and then there are many other voices trying to interfere with that voice. He says, they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Drop down to verse 26. 26. But he's talking to the Pharisees. The Judaizers. Watch what he says to them. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, time out, church. This verse is the first time in my life I learned that I was not one of Jesus' sheep. I read verse 26 and I said, and God was talking to me. And he said, Bob Oliver, you are not one of my sheep. Oh my goodness, my sister Ellie is one of you. She was witnessing to me all the time. Give me the word. And then I realized the Holy Spirit enlightened this verse. And I realized you can't get saved until you realize you're lost, right? I realized I was not one of his sheep. Then I wanted to become one of his sheep. Look what he says, 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I said, I want that. I don't know how, but I want that. And boom, the Lord Jesus Christ came into me. I was saved on the spot. And it was like a spiritual time bomb. And I'm like, wow! I'm one of Jesus' sheep, I call it. I'm one of Jesus' sheep. Call my mom. I'm one of Jesus' sheep. Hey, I'm a sheep. Why? Why? Because I finally heard his voice. Back to Galatians chapter 5. Look at it. Verse 8. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Somebody else's voice. The voice of Judaizers and false doctrine were creeping in. Finally tonight, Paul finally warns of the danger of the false doctrine. Look at verse 9. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Now, we know that in the Bible, leaven is always a type of, come on, false doctrine, that's right. Leaven in the Bible is always picturing false doctrine. In some cases, sin. Ellie's absolutely right on that. But clearly here, Paul is warning the Galatians of the leaven, false doctrine, that the Judaizers were trying to put on them. And he says, just a little bit is going to spoil you. Why? What does leaven do? Leaven, by the way, leaven, it's an English word for yeast. Yeast spreads, thank you. It spread, it enlarges. It makes the bread rise, right? That's what false doctrine does. It spreads and it enlarges. And pretty soon, you got a false church. False doctrines. And he says, he's warning them, a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. Watch out. Don't entertain these Judaizers for a second. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we won't take time to turn there, we're done. But he talks about the leaven, leavening the whole lump, that false doctrine. Jesus spoke of it over and over. The leaven of the Pharisees. The leaven of the Pharisees. Watch out. Now, in closing, clearly Paul is warning the Galatian believers to turn away from these Judaizers and to remain in the place of blessing. That is living by grace. Amen? Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight. Lord, for these verses, it's so good to know the truth and to have been set free thereby. Father, we just ask you to bless this message to our hearts, that we may take and be strengthened by it and apply it to our Christian lives. That, Lord, we would not allow the least bit of false doctrine to creep in to our lives or to the church, Lord. We thank you so much for the truth. And by the Spirit of truth, we will stand upon the truth, which is a person named Jesus Christ. We love you and we thank you, Lord, for the sanctification that you freely bestow upon us as we simply seek your face. We love you in Jesus Christ's name, the people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Folks, let's grab our hymnals tonight. Oh. For a closing hymn tonight, let's go to 31. Hymn 31. We'll stand. And we'll sing the first and last prior to our Wednesday night prayer meeting. And those of you who are unable to stay for the prayer meeting, no problem. Some of you got a long drive. When the morning comes, I can't wait for it. Ah. Try that one again. When the morning comes. Oh, I see why.
Trials come on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God will lead us to that blessed promised land. But he'll guide us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. Bye, bye. When the morning comes, with the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. On the third, temptations and snares often take us unawares, and our hearts are made to bleed for each loveless word or deed, and we wonder why that's test when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by.
Amen!
Bye and bye, when the morning comes, with the saints of God are gathered.
all. Great singing tonight, church. One verse I want to remind you of. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for the good to them that love God. Whatever you're going through, it's for the good somehow. Praise the Lord. Brother Dennis, would you dismiss us in prayer tonight, brother? What a blessing to have you, folks.
Be prepared. No man knoweth the hour of the Lord. Dear God, shake this great nation. Please don't utterly destroy it. Bring us back to one nation under God. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.